home entertainment center worth $3,000.
I never dreamed you'd leave in summer.
Summer is not actually here yet. I know, we've still got more than a week until the official summer solstice. But with vacations or staycations beginning, it's a good time to get a jump on some relaxing. After all, summer is the perfect time to crack open a great book. And if you're in need of a summer reading list, we're here to help. Mythili Rao is a producer at the New Yorker Radio Hour, a Takeaway alum, and book critic. So, Mythili, it's been a grim year for news in so many ways. Are publishers and authors responding?
Certainly. I mean, I think it's an exciting time as ever for publishing. You know, people are always saying the novel is dying or dead, and it continues to survive and thrive.
So you have six books with you here. Let's talk about the first one, Asymmetry by Lisa Halliday.
There's a gossipy reason why people are talking about this book this summer, and that is because when Lisa Halliday was a little younger, she had a relationship with Philip Roth, and readers see elements of this in the book. But that's not really the only reason to read this book. It does add a sort of element of juiciness, I suppose, but Lisa Halliday really knows how to write. This book combines two very distinct plot lines in a totally unexpected way. And from the first page, you're in really good hands.
And Philip Roth just passed away.
Right.
So do you see this sort of adding to the interest in this book?
I think so. I have seen mention of this book in obituaries of his and in sort of essays about his life. And it's a completely different way into thinking about his life.
Book number two is There, There by Tommy Orange. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so this is the debut novel from a writer named Tommy Orange. He is one of the graduates of a relatively new MFA program at the Institute of American Indian Arts in New Mexico. And as I understand it, the goal of this program was to really cultivate a new generation of Native American writers. And this book is an amazing look at Native American life through 12 different characters whose stories all collide at a powwow in Oakland.
Does it tell us a story about today's Native American youth, perhaps? Because I think that this is a community that's so undercovered just by the media, by publishing. Does it give us a sense of a different narrative?
Absolutely. And it really emphasizes the heterogeneity of this population, how it isn't easy to neatly tell a singular Native American story. These are very complicated, very diverse stories that are all beautifully interwoven.
Book number three, we have Pretty Things by, now you'll have to help me with the pronunciation here, Virginie Despentes?
I think it's Virginie Despentes.
Oh, well then,
French.
There we go.
But my French is not great either. So this book was first published 20 years ago and is being re-released now by the Feminist Press. And it's kind of an interesting time for it. It's the story of twins. And like a lot of twin stories, there's kind of like the good twin, bad twin. There is the sexy twin and the frumpy twin. And this is a very sharp and very funny exploration of femininity and also misogyny. So there's a kind of wicked and subversive and kind of uncomfortable element to this book. The plot line involves mistaken identities or one twin kind of pretending to be the other. And I won't give too much away, but it's the kind of book that you devour pretty quickly.
So even though it's been published, it was published 20 years ago, it seems like it still has relevance today, particularly in this moment of gender and everything else that we're dealing with.
Absolutely. In the last few months, I found myself rethinking everything I thought I knew about gender. And this is one of those books that kind of, if your mind is already chewing these things over, gives it a big push in a way that feels fun.
That's important because I think we need some fun collectively. We need some fun. Book number four, Banthology, Stories from Banned Nations, edited by Sarah Cleave.
Shortly after President Trump announced his travel ban against people from Iraq, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen, the editors behind this book decided, you know, if you can't physically travel between countries, another way to travel is by reading. Reading it now, they are just potent reminders of the humanity of people from these places. This is a little book. You could read it on an airplane. You could read it on a flight very quickly, and it transports you.
Book number 5, Air Traffic by Gregory Pardlow, and this is a memoir.
This is a memoir from a Pulitzer Prize winning poet. Gregory Pardlow won the Pulitzer in 2015. And this is a book that tells kind of two really incredible stories. One is, you know, the story of his complicated relationship with his father, who by all accounts was this brilliant, charismatic, larger-than-life person who was also deeply troubled. But there's a historical element to it as well, which is that a central element in his father's life took place in 1981 when he was part of the air traffic controller strike, this massive strike that ended in this huge showdown with President Reagan and really changed the future of labor organizing in America. So that's kind of the backdrop for this. But what Pardlow is really doing is examining the ways in which his father shaped him for better and for worse in some ways. He's a really fantastic writer. He writes like a poet, with that richness of language and precision. And there's a real searching quality to this book.
Book number 6, My Year of Rest and Relaxation. This one sounds like a book I'm really going to like. Otessa Moshfegh?
Yes, Otessa Moshfegh. So we've all had days where we just wanted to sort of stay in bed asleep all day. So the premise of this book, it just kind of takes that to its logical extreme. It's about a woman who is blonde, tall, thin, independently wealthy, more or less successful, but miserable, and decides she's going to find a psychiatrist to help her set up this routine of medications that'll basically keep her asleep for as much of the day as possible. I'm laughing because it's a very funny book. It sounds so dark, and it is dark, but Otessa Moshfegh really plays up the absurd here.
You mentioned earlier that the news cycle and the publishing cycle are not exactly the same. Do you expect us to see a lot more books about this current political cycle that we're in, given that discrepancy?
I think absolutely. I think these things have a way of just sort of creeping into novelists' work. The last couple of years, there's also been a big rise of interest in dystopian fiction. And also speaks to the general state of mind that a lot of creative people find themselves in at the moment.
I wonder sometimes about the fascination with dystopian life right now, because I'm thinking it's a little too similar sometimes to real life.
It's not the escape that you want your reading to bring you.
Definitely not for the summer, I'll tell you that. Listeners, you can get Mythili's whole list on our website, and you can check that out at thetakeaway.org. Mythili Rao is a producer at the New Yorker Radio Hour. Thanks so much, Mythili.
Tanzina, this was fun.
This is Cindy Robinov from Grafton, Massachusetts, and I just bought 6 books for my summer reading, including Elizabeth Strout's Anything is Possible, Anne Patchett's Commonwealth.
This is Mark Mannheimer. I'm calling from Bradford, Massachusetts. I'm currently reading Michael Pollan's Magnificent, How to Change Your Mind. I have Adam Becker's What is Real, which is a further looks into quantum theory, and Simon Perry's Making Sense, Cognition, Computing, Art, and Environment. I expect to be moved, intrigued, and challenged all summer.
This is Jeff Todd from East Liverpool, Ohio, and after devouring the first 2 volumes of the King Killer Chronicles by Patrick Rothfuss, I hope that we get the 3rd this summer, tentatively titled Doors of Stone, but we don't know that for sure yet.